The next time you're on Interstate 80, stop in and see the folks at the Iowa 80 Truck Stop at Exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. They're always open and ready to serve you. Enjoy a sit-down meal at the Iowa 80 Kitchen or grab a bite from one of their 9 quick-serve restaurants. You'll love their clean restrooms, huge gift store, beautiful convenience store, and, of course, the Super Truck Showroom stocked with plenty of chrome, lights, and more. While you're there, don't forget to visit the Iowa 80 Trucking Museum next door. It's free. The entire team at the Iowa 80 is very excited to celebrate 60 years with you. They look forward to being your home away from home for another 60 years. Sending you a giant thank you from Iowa 80, the world's largest truck stop on I-80, exit 284 in Walcott, Iowa. Iowa 80.
It's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show from the Uniden America Studios. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America and around the planet, we are Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley and I'm Gary McNamara. Good morning. Welcome. I'm just looking here, reading more of the article in the New York Post about the Wall Street investor who's going to challenge AOC in the primary. And I was telling you before, Marty Dolan, a 66-year-old former Wall Street banker, Westchester County native, says, "We are all for the progress implied by the word progressive." No, we're not. He said in a campaign launch announcement, however, within the progressive movement, there are radicals whose influence on the Democratic Party is overweight. The impact in New York City is obvious. Bail reform is a disaster. The National Guard in the subway, toothpaste locked up in drugstores, but criminals running free. Scarce resources directed to non-sanctuary immigrants coming from all over the world. These difficulties must be addressed in the context of a runaway $34 trillion federal debt and New York City's 14% marginal tax rate, Dolan argued. These radicals can't deliver more than breadcrumbs when they ignore that the primary breadwinners are leaving and brush off taxpayer concerns in favor of,
What?
He's listening to us.
Yeah.
In favor of abstract populist ideologies, end of quote.
Thank you for listening.
Enough is enough. Radicals offer nothing more than scams. Wow. There's been nobody who's more in favor of immigration than AOC, and there's been no worse thing that happened that's, excuse me, let me read this again, because this is all quotes. I want to make sure I get it right.
Okay.
There's been nobody who's more in favor of immigration than AOC, and there's been no worse thing that's happened in New York in the last year, end of quote. He told Bloomberg News, another quote, there's a lot of people who even in Queens and the Bronx think, what has she done for us? He added, railing against her support for diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI initiatives. Where's this guy liberal, by the way, if he actually means what he says?
Right.
Let me see. Dolan, who initially planned to run against Representative Jamal Bowman in New York's 16th congressional district, made headlines last month when he confronted the fire alarm pulling lawmaker for honoring Joanne Chesimard on the wall of honor of the Bronx Middle School where he served as principal. Chesimard was convicted of murder in the killing of a New York State trooper in 1973 before she escaped jail and fled to Cuba.
Well,
So he's against DEI.
Yeah.
He's for lowering taxes. He's against what Biden is doing at the border and what's going on in sanctuary cities. Where's he progressive? Because he said, progress is a part of progressive, which we all are.
Or he supports the progress implied by the word progressive. Is he making light of that term or that liberals use?
He might be. Bail reform is a disaster. National Guard in the subway. Toothpaste locked up in drugstores. Criminals running free. Immigrants coming in from all over the world into New York City. These difficulties must be addressed in the context of a runaway $34 trillion federal debt and New York City's 14% marginal tax rate. The radicals can't deliver more than breadcrumbs when they ignore that the primary breadwinners are leaving and brush off taxpayer concerns in favor of abstract populist ideologies. Enough is enough. Radicals offer nothing more than scams. Hmm. Now, remember. I'm not one of those crazy Democrats.
Oh, yeah. Claire McCaskill.
And then last month, she proved she was a crazy Democrat.
Yeah. They sent her back for retraining after her loss. She didn't win that race, by the way. Yeah. For those that don't remember, she was running in Missouri.
Yes.
And
Senate.
And she had a campaign ad, two actors basically portraying two normal people talking about, which candidate they're going to support. And, Claire McCaskill isn't one of those crazy Democrats. And we talked about that ad and the reason that they use that terminology and the reason they put it in the ad is because that's what their feedback was giving them. That's actually what they were hearing. And it didn't work for Claire McCaskill. It's not going to work for Marty Dolan. He's a Democrat. But the time for the non-radical Democrat is over. Just ask Mitt Romney.
Well, by the way, I said... She became a crazy Democrat. And this is when a few weeks ago, remember, she was furious and she demanded that the New York Times and other liberal media stop fact-checking Biden.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Stop fact-checking Biden.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
She finally became a crazy Democrat.
Yeah,
exactly what she claimed that she wasn't.
Yeah.
Well, of course, everybody should be fact-checked. The media should be fact-checking everybody. Correct.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah, right.
Right. I mean, if we're going to be equitable, if we're going to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion, that includes fact-checking.
But it doesn't, for the left, include non-radicals, ironically enough. And now for a segment called Just Something I've Noticed, brought to you by our friends at Motel 6. Just Something I've Noticed. There's a lot more yawning these days. Have you noticed that? Yeah. And the bad thing about yawning, it's contagious. Now, I'm not a scientist, but I do know that's true. You see somebody else yawn, all of a sudden, you got to yawn. You know what helps to curtail the yawning? How about a great night's rest at Motel 6? Book online at motel6.com. Use the code CPREDEye to get 15% off your stay at Motel 6 or Studio 6. With almost 1,500 locations across the country, there's almost always a Motel 6 or Studio 6 nearby. And truck parking is available at most locations. Enjoy a clean, comfortable room at a price you will love when you use the code CPREDEye. That's the letters CPREDEye, all one word, for 15% off your stay at Motel 6. And help curtail the yawning. That's just something I've noticed. Brought to you by Motel 6.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Well, I'll tell you this. What you need eventually from the Democratic Party is what Dolan is saying, whether he actually agrees with it or not. I mean, that's what the Democratic Party, we've often said, the Democratic Party, I said in 2018, they can't continue this way. They've got to moderate, and they haven't.
No, they haven't.
They haven't at all. And they haven't because they don't believe that the people that vote for them want to change.
Right.
They don't believe it. They believe that the Democratic Party, that the people that vote Democrat want high inflation. They want what's going on in New York and Chicago. They believe, Democrats believe, that what's going on and the migrants in those towns draining the budgets is exactly what their voter wants.
Right.
Because they still don't seem, it's moved a little bit. You know, you've seen the national polls have moved a little bit. Trump is winning, but you would think with such radical policies, they'd lose 50% of their vote. That's how, based on the polling on the issues alone.
Mm-hmm.
But there are people that are completely against every major issue where the Democratic Party stands, yet still plans on voting for
them. Yeah, sure. Right.
Now, if he was able to win the primary in New York, that might mean something.
Well, it certainly would. I mean, you would think at a certain point that the people in those districts and states would draw a line and say this is enough. And I mean, well, at some point something has to change. I just don't know where that point is.
Well, you could make the case on where he stands on these issues.
Mm-hmm.
He's a MAGA Democrat.
I was about to say, he sounds pretty MAGA in the points that he's making.
Yeah. So, we'll see where he goes. I mean, he's only had, outside of his own money, he's only had $3,000 that have come from other people. But
yeah,
he just launched it on Tuesday. And you wonder, you know, I was reading now that the RNC, okay, we need to get back to fundraising. You made a great point. There are people out there saying, well, should I donate to the PACs, the Republican PACs that are going to be running ads for Trump, or do I donate to the Trump campaign where I don't know if any of that money is going to go to ads, whether it's going to go to his legal fees?
Well, this has been, you know.
Or will I split it? I'll help Donald Trump with the legal fees because I think he's unfair, but I'm not going to blow everything I have because we need to be running ads. Will that be a problem? And will there be a problem now that the RNC has been labeled, you know, the MAGA RNC?
Mm-hmm.
Will that hurt fundraising in general? Those are the questions still to be answered.
Well, you know, at this point now, and I think it was at that point when the leadership changed at the RNC, especially with bringing in Laura Trump. I mean, if you're Donald Trump, you want someone like Laura Trump in a leadership role there at the RNC. And that's going to be, but if you're a Republican voter and you're going to vote Republican, then you're supporting Trump. So at this point, you know, the table is set. And you just have it. Now, it will be interesting in watching what the donations do. Because there is everything you just mentioned. I want to give because I think they need to run ads. You know, I want to give because I think the campaign needs more groundwork, you know, in districts or in battleground states, whatever. I don't want to give to a defense fund, or I do want to give to a defense fund because part of the reason that I'm supporting him in a big way is because of the two-tier justice system, and we can't let this stand. I mean, it's a mix of all the above, but the numbers will tell the story. And the liberal media is not going to do what they did in 2016 and give him basically a 2-point, I think they came up with $2.1, $2.2 billion exposure campaign and interviews and everything else. All of that is behind us. Now, there will still be plenty of interest to have him on. But I think most of it is going to be done on social media. A lot of the sharing by the rank and file on social media. And then beyond that, you've got to get down to spending the money. Spending the money, too, again, on that groundwork. You got to go door to door. There are things in those states where you're going to have that ground game is going to have to be on point every step of the way, and that requires money. So,
well, because the ground game is important, because if you talk about, well, he doesn't need the ads because he's going to be doing the rallies. Mm-hmm. Well, the rally speeches aren't really covered as much.
Right.
Local media may cover them, but if you want local media, because the local media will still cover it. If Trump comes into town, sure, to do a rally,
that's a big deal.
You know, but I mean, I don't mean the big rallies that he does once every couple of months. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about where he's somewhere every other day.
Right.
And I don't know if he can do that because of the trials coming up. Mm. But that's what you would want, because that's what gets you the local TV coverage.
Yeah.
And believe me,
it's always a big local story.
Right. It's a big local story, and that's what you do.
It's a big deal.
It's the same thing with immigration. We said, or the sanctuary city situation and Governor Abbott and the federal government sending migrants everywhere.
Right.
Well, we said, and people would call us and say, well, the national media won't cover it. We said, doesn't matter. The local media will.
Yep. And that's actually kind of, goes along with the ground game. The ground game is, you know, a local game and a state-level game. And you need the money to get that done. You're going to have to be well-funded.
866-90-RED-EYE.
This morning's USDA Farm Report is brought to you by Howe's Products. Tested, trusted, guaranteed since 1920.
We're still seeing relatively tight cattle and beef supplies and strong prices.
Very strong prices. This from USDA Outlook Board Chairman Mark Chekanowski. His analysts have taken another look at their previous forecasts for this year's beef production. And the result, not a lot of changes. They did up slightly the forecast for beef output, adding 140 million pounds. That still puts this year's beef production down about 2% from last year. As for steer prices,
very strong. We raised our steer price forecast by $2.50 per hundredweight. Currently at $182.50 per hundredweight. That's up almost $7 per hundredweight year over year.
And would be a record high average price.
And reflects still very strong consumer demand despite very high beef prices.
This is Gary Crawford reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
This report brought to you by Cenex Fuels and Lubes.
Coming up, more with Gary McNamara and Eric Harley. It's Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. We'll talk more about this, the lead headline, and you've probably seen this headline over the last 36 hours or so. Canadian law endorsed by Trudeau government could imprison people for life for speech crimes. Advocates of the bill say it's intended to create a safer environment on social media for young people. We'll get to that in just a moment, but I was reading some of Andrew McCarthy's analysis of the Fonnie Willis thing about the judge coming out and saying, sorry, you really haven't described what the felony is in this case.
Right. You didn't really build the charges out.
You didn't build the charges. And one of the points he brought up is, and this is something that we've talked about all the time, whether it was Trump in Georgia with the Secretary of State. It's like people suggest and politicians suggest all the time that other politicians break the law. That's not against the law.
Right.
So even if, and I don't believe Trump did in that conversation to the Secretary of State, you know, he was saying, no, I believe there's fraud and I believe you can find these votes.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, but even if it wasn't, even if he said, look, you can find those 11,000 votes, you know, they're out there somewhere. And, you know, and even if he implied, you know, you do something for it, it's the behavior. It's not the question of asking to, you know, and that's what they're trying to do with the RICO law. The asking is against the law because it's part of the criminal conspiracy. So it's conspiracy at that particular point.
Right.
And it's like, well, where's that in the law? You know, right. where do you get that in, you know, in the law? And he said, politicians talk, and he brought up the point of, the Supreme Court comes out and says forgiving college loans is unconstitutional. How many politicians the president needs tomorrow?
Yeah.
The president needs tomorrow, and they speak with the president privately and say, you need to forgive student loans. It's against the law to do it.
Right.
They're promoting something that's against the law, and the Supreme Court just came out and said it's against the law.
Mm-hmm.
Should they be put in jail? Is that part of a Democrat conspiracy? And is the Democratic Party, I have to be careful here, are they a crime syndicate?
Well, no, I mean, think about it, because I was looking at basically the way that Fannie Willis built her case out, you know, and because it's based on the oath and the Georgia law that has to do with the oath of a public servant. Oh, my gosh. Then let's charge Fannie Willis. You could just line it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could just line it up.
Exactly.
And
if you convict Trump, you've just set the precedent to convict Fannie Willis.
You seriously, it's the world's worst boomerang, because you've made the case against yourself here as well. And I don't know how that wouldn't be the case. If you could make that case and it would stick against the Trump organization and against Trump, you can then, it is the next logical step is to prosecute Fannie Willis for the same.
Listening to Red Eye Radio from the Uniden America Studios.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carly, and I'm Gary McNamara. So here's a story out of Canada, because, again, it's where liberalism is going, which is very important to understand.
Mm-hmm.
A Canadian law that aims to make, this is from Fox, their lead headline this morning, a Canadian law that aims to make social media platforms safer is getting flack for what some decry as government overreach.
Hmm.
Introduced late last month, the Online Harms Act would allow judges to imprison adults for life if they advocate for genocide. You know where that's going.
Yeah.
I support Israel. Okay, life in prison.
Life in prison.
The law would also allow a provincial judge to impose house arrest and a fine if there were reasonable grounds to believe. Now, tell me what movie this is. Here we go. Everybody stop what you're doing unless you're drinking or driving.
No.
And or I didn't say and. A law would allow a provincial judge to impose house arrest and a fine if there were reasonable grounds to believe a defendant will commit an offense. We've just got to Minority Report.
Reasonable grounds that you're going to do it.
That you will commit an offense.
Define reasonable.
A provision that Wall Street columnist Michael Taube likened to the 2002 film Minority Report.
Mm.
Margaret Atwood, author of The Handmaid's Tale, has criticized the bill as Orwellian. If this is bill is true, God help us. The possibilities for revenge, false accusations, and thought crime stuff are just so inviting. Trudeau's Orwellian online harms bill is what she calls it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Writing in public, conservative author Steve Moore called it the most shocking of all the totalitarian, illiberal, and anti-Enlightenment pieces of legislation that have been introduced in the Western worlds in decades. Citing a government spokesperson, the bill would increase the maximum penalty specifically for advocating genocide from 5 years to life imprisonment and from 2 years to 5 years on indictment for the willful promotion of hatred.
Hmm.
The justice minister who introduced the bill said, as a father, he was terrified of the dangers that lurk on the internet for our children. He argued that laws exist regulating the safety of toys his kids play with, but not the screen that is in our children's faces.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine, seriously. Well, then, of course, if you promoting genocide. Well, Hamas is promoting genocide. If you're siding with Hamas, then you're pro-genocide.
Yep.
So this can go both directions in that regard. See what happens when you want to punish free speech?
We are advocating because we care, and my family came from Canada, mm-hmm. that all those artists that are now boycotting South by Southwest because they are pro-Hamas, life in prison.
Yes.
Life in prison for all of them.
That's right.
Go over to Great Britain, grab that rap group Kneecap.
That's right.
And put them in jail for life.
Yes.
My God, these people are insane. But that's where it's going in Canada. Look, we knew it. Remember when the father was, the father was put in jail because the state said, mandated, you must use the pronoun.
Mm-hmm.
The proper pronoun that your child wishes are, you're in violation of this court order.
Right.
You've got to do it. You go to jail until you submit. You must use the language that the government tells you, which is what Jordan Peterson said. Got nothing to do with the transgender thing. They're telling me what I have to say.
It's the government outlining which words are dangerous and which words aren't. Again, when you get into the business of limiting or punishing free speech, limiting speech, punishing free speech, because that's the only way you can limit speech is through punishment, then at that point, you're defining.
Well, as Peterson said, there's one thing, for example, you yell fire in a crowded theater
mm-hmm.
and there's no fire.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, that's the government telling you what you can't say, but you could say it if there wasn't a riot where people were injured afterwards because of it. But he said, this is a case where the government is telling you not what you can't say, but what you must say.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that's never been a part of,
right,
Western democracies.
Right.
Just has never been a part of it.
Well, and
but political speech, as we know, is completely protected in the United States, which is not in Canada.
Well, and here's another thing. What does this do to tourism? That this is going to be the policy in that country. It doesn't apply just to Canadian citizens. If you're there on vacation, you could be charged with it.
Yeah, I'll have to stay on the American side of Niagara Falls and not head over to see the Canadian Ballet.
Exactly.
For people who don't know what the Canadian Ballet is.
Strippers.
Yes. See, I told everybody that a long time ago. People on the border know that term, but people outside don't know it. But
we know it in Texas.
I started, you know, that's where I started talk radio, was in Niagara Falls, USA.
So. Right. So.
Just an old joke.
Yeah, in Texas we say strippers.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's a Canadian ballet.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to step foot in Canada ever again. If you know, because I've been wanting to go for a long time. I've never been, and I would never have that desire again.
Wait a minute. As conservative talk show hosts and the things that we have said in the past that they would object to.
Right. Sure.
You know, if they want to go after Jordan Peterson, why can't they go after
anybody?
Because as we know, our app and all of our and so many of our huge radio stations that have monstrous signals carries far into Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what if I'm in Montreal and I post something on X? Well, I'm standing there in Montreal.
Well, for two reasons you'd go to jail.
Mm-hmm. Being in Montreal?
No. Mm-hmm. Number one, you'd have to, you know, you'd be putting it in English, and so that would.
Oh, yes. Well, there's that.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that takes me back to Canadian bacon.
Yeah.
Remember when they're driving the truck?
Mm.
They're driving the truck up there, and they've got all these, in English, you know, Canada sucks, all this other stuff and everything else. They get pulled over by the RCMP, and it's Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, oh, this is unacceptable here, what's written here. Oh, and then John Candy comes out, and he goes, like, oh, no. Well, we don't know who did it. It must have been those vandals. He goes, doesn't matter. You cannot have this. You cannot have it. He goes, well, what do we do? He goes, well, it's written in English. Now you must write the same thing in French.
Yeah.
And that's the only – that does not beat, though, John Candy at the hockey game.
Yeah, right.
When John Candy said – by the way, and that's a Michael Moore written and produced film – his most realistic film ever, and it's complete fiction.
Right.
It's much more realistic than the documentaries.
Yes, when by far.
Candy's sitting at the hockey game, and they're just insulting everything Canadian, you know, from the flag, you know, what's a maple leaf mean, and nobody's paying attention. And all of a sudden he goes, and by the way, their beer sucks. And the whole place just stops. Yeah. Silence. And all the players climb over the board, and there's a huge fight.
Yeah, I would not want to go. In fact, I've kind of lost that desire to go when all this started happening with Jordan Peterson and the father and the whole trucker convoy thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Trucker protest.
That was found unconstitutional, as it should have been.
Yep. I'm not going to risk, you know, for just a vacation, I'm not going to risk that kind of government overreach and this thought of being put in jail for something I say. Sorry.
Or something you have said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something that you have said, even if it wasn't on Canadian soil, it reached Canadian soil.
Mm-hmm.
Because the internet picks up what you say.
Yep.
And so you sat there, and if you have said, you know, I stand with Israel. Well, then if this genocide law, because it's about the internet.
Yep. Yep.
And we're on the internet, and you say it, doesn't matter where it comes from, you cross the border.
Anybody. Yeah. Anybody who's posted anything like that.
Yeah, imagine.
You're at risk now of going to jail.
Imagine you and I sitting there going, oh, my gosh, I'm doing life in prison in Canada.
Yeah.
For saying I support Israel.
Now, it's a cabin with a 12-acre spread, but still, it is jail, and you have to stay there. Hunting only allowed on Fridays and Saturdays.
Now you're making me think of SCTV with John Candy with the when he had the I can't think of his name, the old logger or the guy in the woods that would interview rock bands, and he brought on the Plasmatics.
The Plasmatics, yeah.
And they burned down the entire cabin.
Yeah, that's funny.
Oh, we're so glad to have the people here from the Plasmatics.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no way. This would this will kill tourism.
No, but if they pass this law, seriously.
Yeah, this
anything
will
that
kill
you said,
tourism.
If you say you do life in prison for supporting genocide, you stand by Israel. Well, mm-hmm. there's going to be a ton of liberals that want to put you in jail for life in Canada.
Yep.
Where am I wrong?
Right.
If this is accurate of this law, which it doesn't seem there's anybody saying, no, that's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, we saw the same thing, remember, in California, when they wanted to put people that you could be put in jail if you use the wrong pronouns, if you were a government worker in certain areas.
They're still trying to push ideas like that. They just can't get the law done.
But that was found unconstitutional.
Mm-hmm.
But before that, they were like, well, yeah, it's in the law, but we'd never do that. Then don't put it in the law.
Exactly.
But thank goodness the California Supreme Court found that unconstitutional.
Right.
Never even got to the federal courts.
Right.
Because, of course, it was unconstitutional.
Yes.
But it was forcing you to use certain language.
Right.
So liberals want to do it in the United States. Don't worry. That's the problem. They want to do it in Canada. They want to do it in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where this law goes, this proposed law.
Yeah.
It's been endorsed by the Trudeau government, according to Fox here. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. So be interesting to see what happens now with the Fannie Willis case, because people were asking why the judge did that. You know, what was the point of the judge doing that if he was going to disqualify her? Is that a sense that she won't be disqualified?
Hmm.
Or was it just the order in which he is doing things, that came in first,
yeah,
and so he's dealing with that.
Right.
I don't see, you know, because now sources say that he's going to, you know, not disqualify her. That might be the case. You're almost guaranteeing an overturning of this case.
Yeah, the appeal.
If she continues on it.
Appeal is going to be very easy, I think, for the, it's just laid out there for you. The case appeals itself.
Yeah, you cannot say that there is, as the judge even said in the law, that there isn't a perception of a conflict of interest
right,
here. You
right.
can't make that case.
Right.
And so I look at it and say, well, if he does that, he's basically violating what he said the law is as mm-hmm. he understands it, that
mm-hmm.
it's a perception
mm-hmm.
too also.
Right.
You can't make the case that the evidence doesn't exist.
Right. Yeah, you know, those counts that he dismissed, you didn't build out the cases. You know, they have no way to defend themselves on these cases because you didn't point out how this, you know, how it was all built out.
Right.
I guess we'll see on the disqualification side where it goes. We'll hear any time now.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy, game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.